I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles to Psalm 127. Our topic of discussion for our devotional tonight is developing our families for eternity. So I think that Psalm 127 in verse number 1 provides for us a good beginning point to be able to understand this development process. Of course, if you look at the very beginning of your plan of action, when you open it up to the inside front page, you will find a little statement that's been in our plan of action for some time, entitled Building for Eternity. And there is a statement of a scripture found in Luke 1 and 17 that is underneath it, referring to the work of John the Baptizer in preparing the way for Jesus. It says here that he came to make ready a people for the Lord. I would suggest unto you that that translates into our mission as well, just from a different time perspective. He was preparing for the arrival of Jesus in the flesh for salvation. We are preparing people for his coming in judgment. But it's still our responsibility to make preparation for that. So building for eternity, you might say, is a motto that we have chosen with regards to our work. Now Psalm 127 in verse number 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Now there's a lot referenced in this verse following, but that is the statement that I would like for us to build upon tonight as we think about this intensive process of development, developing our families for eternity. Development, remember, is a process. It's taking something from one state of being and bringing it into another state of being. And it does not happen simply because a preacher preaches upon it. It's a development process. Preaching is the beginning point of that. The study of God's Word is the beginning point of that. Understanding God's Word, then, would be a beginning point of that. But the development takes practice. It takes effort. It takes labor on our part. And so often with society the way it is, we have a responsibility not just to develop a plan of action, but we actually have a responsibility to develop motivation, desire, on the part of individuals to develop that family for eternity. I would suggest unto you that all great societies thrive on strong families. And at the same time, I would suggest unto you that even the greatest of cultures can be brought to destruction because of feeble families. So tonight, just a couple of points, and hopefully not very long, but I want you to think about a couple of things. If we're going to develop our families for eternity, it means that we must be people who understand the times that we live in. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 32, the Bible says concerning 200 men of Issachar that they had what the Bible refers to there as an understanding of the times. But it's the next phrase that I want you to focus upon. Because they had an understanding of the times, it says that they could inform Israel what to do. You see, how to live, how to function in that society. It is an application of God's Word to the society in which we have heard. If you're in the adult Bible class, you heard Brother Raphael deliver over the last couple of weeks some excellent lessons on 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And you remember that Paul said in that context that there was a responsibility or an encouragement of individuals to not seek marriage because of the present situation. He had an understanding of the time that he was living in. And I would suggest to you tonight that how parents raise their children in this family will make a greater impact upon our society than the way that we vote. It will make a greater impact upon our society than the art that we create, than the books that we read, and all of the technology and medical advancements that we could come up with will never begin to compare with the role of parents in the home from generation to generation. This is the first great institution that God established, and Satan has viciously opposed it since its beginning, and he is still doing so today. These are things that you are well aware of. Marriage vows are ignored and even broken. The very definition of marriage in our society is being questioned and shredded by our court system and by our lawmakers. The God-given rights of parents are being eroded very quickly. Fathers are refusing to take the lead in the spiritual development of their families. And every day, approximately 35 to 3,800 babies are butchered in the womb. Now, do you suppose that that has no impact at all upon the development of the family in America? Children disobey their parents seemingly with impunity. We are living in perilous times, my friends. Perilous times from the vantage point of the spiritual development of our families. And so it is important that we understand the times that we live in. In fact, many may even question, is it even possible to develop a spiritual-minded family? Is it possible to develop families that have a mindset directed toward eternity? Is it possible for us to build good, solid families today? I would suggest to you that the answer is yes. And the Bible has always answered that in the affirmative, regardless of the context of society. It would be as Nehemiah said concerning the wall around Jerusalem, let us rise up and build. So let's look at just a couple of things here. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 1, the Bible says that wisdom hath builded her house, and she hath hewn that house with seven pillars. Seven pillars to stabilize that particular home that she has built. Very briefly, I want to look at these seven pillars. Number one, the Lord builds the house. That is the first and primary pillar that must be erected. Psalm 127 and verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor do so in vain. It is vanity to build a home without God as the centerpiece of that home. Number two, labor builds that home. I want you to think about the responsibility of a good, strong, old-fashioned work ethic in relationship to the roles and responsibilities of the home. Except the Lord build the house. Notice what he said. They that labor. They labor. They do it in vain. But now if I'm building with the Lord, if I'm a co-laborer with the Lord, then there is no vanity in the building. There is actually a blessing to that home. So moms and dads and children must have a good, strong work ethic. Labor builds a home. Number three, righteous living also builds a home. Psalm 101 in verse number 2, David says that I will walk in my home with a perfect heart. David established a determination upon his heart that he was going to do what was necessary to make a pure home. Now, did he always do that? We know that he failed on multiple occasions with regards to that. But may we not only make the determination, but may we live that determination. Righteous living will help to build that home. Number four, leadership builds that home. Of course, you may know that I'm going to direct your attention to Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15, where Joshua makes that determination, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods in Egypt, the gods on the other side of your ancestors, or the gods here in the Canaanites. You make a choice. And every family has to make that choice whom you will serve. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what I didn't hear in that? I did not hear Joshua say, when I get home, my wife and I are going to discuss this, and I'll get back with you on what our house is going to do. But I want to inform you as to why he didn't do that. Joshua is not stating something that he's about to do. He is stating something that is a part of his entire life. His wife has already made that determination with him. They have already covenanted and agreed on that particular statement. Joshua chose well his wife for that particular purpose. Leadership builds a great home. Love builds a home. Think about the great commandment. First stated not on the lips of Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, but also in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5. As Moses is talking to parents about parenting in this new land, he says unto them, he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. And the second, we know Jesus added that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Think about the principle of love. The greatest aspect of my aspiration is for my family to succeed, is for me to give my life as a responsible part of the family for the benefit of that family, even if it means that I must sacrifice even my own life. That is what New Testament love is all about. Staying in that same context of Deuteronomy chapter 6, learning builds a godly home. So notice here in verse 6 and verse number 7, and these words which I command thee this day, he says, they shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them, the word teach is the word sharpen. It means literally to impress upon. And here's Moses' point. That as parents, we cannot impress upon our children any truth that we ourselves have not impressed upon our own heart. And so I must be a learner as a father, as a mother, as a parent. I must be causing the Word of God to be invested in my mind. So learning is a part of that home. And then, once I learn, then I'm going to teach that to my children. By the way, if you'll notice the context, you'll find that this is an all-day event. It's in the morning. It's while you're walking on the way. It's while you're sitting in your house. It's while you're preparing them for the bedtime. There is never a bad time for this learning process. One of the great things is about our God is that our God is a teaching God. He is not just a disciplining God. He is not just a harsh, a tyrant. He is a God that wants us to succeed. And then finally, number 7. Like-mindedness builds a great home. Jesus said that if a house is divided against itself, it will fall. Like-mindedness is important. Knowing that we're going in the same direction, that we're thinking the same way in regard. Children can pick this up quite rapidly, by the way. They know if mom and dad have different ideas about a certain topic. They know because here's what you hear so often. Oh, no, no. The older child will tell the younger child, no, you don't want to go to dad on that one. Believe me, go to mom on that one. You know what that says? That says a divided home. And the children know it. And there is nothing more discouraging and to a child growing up in our society than to have a mother and a father not on the same page in regards to those things. And so those 7 items are the 7 pillars or 7 great pillars that this wise woman took to build her house. You know, a physical house without a foundation will certainly fall. But a physical house on a poor foundation will also fall. We remember as Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount, right? With the words of this parable, that a wise man builds his house upon the rock. And when the winds come and the rains come and the storms beat upon that house, the house remains solid because it's built upon the solid foundation of the rock. These pillars, these are hewn up and they're solid in this house. They're supporting and stabilizing this wonderful godly house. If we're going to build our homes with eternity in mind, then I would suggest to you that the only glimpse of that building project is in your Bible. It's not in the wisdom of men, it is in the wisdom of God. And so I would ask you to contemplate upon these great pillars that will build a godly home. And if your home is not built with these pillars, then I would suggest you make it so as quickly and rapidly as you possibly can. Hewn up, stabilize, fortify that home. I don't know how many of you, but I have thoroughly enjoyed our study together in relationship to 13 weeks, 26 lessons on the home and the family. And then to close it out also with these devotionals. I have thoroughly enjoyed that. I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to Raphael's class. And it has helped, I believe, my understanding of the home, my appreciation and value of the home. And I hope it has yours as well. But I also know that a life itself, not just the home, but every single individual within the home has to be built upon the solid foundation of that rock, which is the Word of God. Is your life built upon the Word of God? If not, we want to make the call that Jesus made some 2,000 years ago for you to become a disciple of His. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. By repenting of all of your past sins. Confessing the sweet name of Jesus. Being buried in that watery grave of baptism to arise and to walk in newness of life. If you're a child of God and you've gone by the wayside, listen, you have a God, you have a Savior, you have a Mediator, you have a family that is waiting for you to return. Like that father in the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, he wants you to come home, and he's waiting for you to do so. This song of invitation is designed with that in mind, as together we stand and sing.